The Fisherman and His Wife, an old tale, read by Barbara Hansel. The Fisherman and His Wife. There was once a fisherman and his wife who lived in a hovel close by the sea, and the fisherman went out every day and fished, and he fished and fished. So once, as he sat with his line and looked steadily into the clear water, the line sank to the bottom, and as he pulled it up, he brought up a great flounder. Then the flounder said to him, "Hearken, fisherman, to what I tell you. Let me live. I am no real flounder. I am an enchanted prince. What good would it do to you to kill me? I should not taste good. Put me back into the water and let me swim away." "Now," said the fisherman, "you need not make so many words about it. A flounder that can speak? Why, I would just as soon let him go anyway." With that, he put the fish back into the clear water, and it went to the bottom, leaving a long streak of blood. Then the fisherman got up and went home to his wife in the hovel. "Well, husband," said his wife, "have you caught nothing?" "No," said the man. "Yes, that is, I did catch a flounder. He said he was an enchanted prince, so I let him swim away."
"Didn't you wish for anything?" asked his wife.
"No," said he, "what should I wish for?"
"Oh, dear," said the wife, "it is hard indeed always to live in this hovel that is so dirty and small. You should have wished for a little cottage. Go back and tell him we want a little cottage. He will surely give us that."
"Oh," said the man, "why should I go back again?"
"Why," said his wife, "you did catch him and let him swim away again. He surely knows that. Go quickly."
The man thought it was not right, but he did not like to vex his wife, so he went down to the sea. It was all green and yellow and no longer so clear. But he stood on the shore and said, oh man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder in the sea, behold my wife, Dame Ilsebil, would beg a boon against my will." Up came the fish and said, "Well, what does she want?"
"Oh," said the man, "I did catch you, and my wife says I really ought to have wished for something. She does not want to live in a hovel any longer. She would like to have a cottage."
"Go," said the flounder, "she has it already." When the man went home, his wife was no longer in the hovel. There stood in its place a little cottage, and his wife sat before the door on a bench. She took him by the hand and said, "Just come in now, husband, see? Isn't this much better?" So they went in, and there was a pretty parlor and bedroom and a kitchen fitted with whatever could be wished for. Outside was a little yard with hens and ducks and a little garden full of flowers and fruit.
"See," said the woman, "isn't this nice?"
"Yes," said the man, "if we always think so. Now we shall live here and be quite content."
"We must think about that," said his wife.
So all went well for a week or two. Then the wife said,
"Listen, husband, this house is entirely too small, and the garden is very little. The flounder could just as well have given us a larger house. I should like to live in a great stone castle. Go ask the flounder for a castle."
"Oh, wife," said the man, "this cottage is good enough. What do we want with a castle?"
"Nonsense," said the woman. "Just go to him. The flounder can surely do that."
The man's heart was heavy. "It is not right," he said to himself. And yet he went. When he came to the sea, the water was quite dark, blue, and gray, and thick. It was no longer so green and yellow, but it was quiet. So he stood there and said, oh man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder in the sea, behold, my wife, Dame Ilsebil, would beg a boon against my will."
"Well, what does she want now?" said the flounder.
"Alas," said the man, half frightened, "she wants to live in a great stone castle." "Go to her," said the flounder. "She stands before the door." Home went the fisherman and found a great stone castle and his wife on the steps just going in. So she took him by the hand. "Come in, husband," she said. Within was a great hall paved with marble. Many servants flung wide the doors. The walls were bright with beautiful tapestries. In the rooms were chairs and tables of pure gold, and crystal chandeliers hung from the ceilings. Outside was a great courtyard with stables for horses and cows. There was also a magnificent garden, and a park with stags and deer and hares and everything one could wish. "Now," said the woman, "isn't this beautiful?" "Ah, yes," said the man, "now let it be, and we will live in this beautiful castle, well content."
"We must think about that," said the woman, "and sleep over it."
The next morning the woman woke first. It was just daybreak, and from her bed she saw the beautiful country lying about her. She poked her husband in the side and said, "Husband, get up and just peep out the window. Look, you couldn't we be king over all that land? Go to the flounder. We will be king."
"Now, wife," said the man, "why should we be king? I don't want to be king."
"Well," said she, "if you won't be king, I will. Go to the flounder. I must be king." So the man went, and he was quite unhappy. "It is not right. It is not right," he kept saying. But when he came to the sea, it was quite dark gray. The water heaved up from below and had an ill smell. Then he stood by it and said, oh man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder, in the sea, behold my wife, Dame Ilsa Bill, would beg a boon against my will."
"And what does she want now?" said the flounder.
"Ah, flounder," said the man, "my wife would be king."
"Go to her," said the flounder, "she is king already."
So the man went back, and he found the castle much larger, with a great tower. Sentinels stood at the gates, and there were many soldiers with trumpets and kettle drums. Inside, everything was of marble and gold. In a great court, his wife sat on a high throne of gold and diamonds, with a golden crown on her head, and a scepter of pure gold, and jewels in her hand. On both sides stood her pages in a row, each one a head shorter than the next. Then he stood before her and said, "Well, wife, are you king?"
"Yes," she said, "I am king."
So after he had stood and looked at her for a long time, he said, "Wife, now that you are king, let all else be. Now we will wish for nothing more."
"Nay, husband," cried she quite uneasily, "time passes heavily. I can bear it no longer. Go to the flounder. I am king. Now I must be emperor."
"Alas," said the man, "the flounder can't make you emperor. I can't say that to the fish. There is but one emperor in the land."
"What?" cried the woman. "I am king. You are only my husband. Will you go at once?"
So the man had to go. As he went, however, he was troubled, and he kept muttering to himself, "It won't end well. It won't end well. Emperor is too shameful. The flounder will at last be worn out." With that he came to the sea, and it was quite black and thick. The wind blew, and white foam arose. The man was frightened, but he stood and cried, oh man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder, in the sea, behold my wife, Dame Ilsa Bill, would beg a boon against my will."
"What now?" asked the flounder.
"Ah, flounder," said he, "my wife would be emperor."
"Go to her," said the flounder. "She is emperor already."
So when the man came to the castle, it was much larger, with a great tower of polished marble, with figures of gold and alabaster. Inside were barons and counts and dukes. Doors of pure gold were thrown open, and there stood his wife on a throne of one piece of gold 2 miles high. She wore a great golden crown with diamonds and carbuncles. In one hand she held a scepter, in the other a globe. On both sides stood her pages, arranged according to size, from the tallest giant down to the smallest dwarf, not so large as a man's little finger. The man stood before her and said, "So, wife, now you are emperor?"
"Yes," said she, "now I am emperor."
After he had looked at her for some time, he said, "Well, wife, now that you are emperor, wish for nothing more."
"Husband," said she, "why do you stand there? Now I am emperor, but I will also be pope. Go to the flounder."
"Alas, wife," cried the man, "what do you not want? You can't be pope. There is but one pope in Christendom. The fish can't make you pope."
"Man," said she, "what nonsense. If he can make me emperor, he can make me pope. So go to him at once. I am emperor. You are only my husband. Will you go?"
He was afraid and went, but he shivered and shook. A high wind blew over the land, and the leaves fell from the trees, and the water arose and roared as if it were boiling. In the distance, ships were firing guns in their distress, pitching and tossing on the waves, and yet there was still a bit of blue in the midst of the sky, although on every side it was red as in a storm. Then, very anxious, he stood and said, O man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder in the sea, behold, my wife, Dame Ilsebil, would beg a boon against my will."
"Well, what now?" asked the flounder.
"Alas," said the man, "she will be pope."
"Go to her," said the flounder, "she is now pope."
So he went home and found what seemed to be a great church surrounded with palaces. He pushed his way through the crowd. Inside, everything was lighted with thousands and thousands of candles. His wife, clad in pure gold, was sitting on a very lofty throne with three great golden crowns on her head. Round about her was much churchly splendor. On both sides of her were rows of candles of all sizes, from the highest tower down to the very smallest rushlight. All the emperors and kings were on their knees before her, kissing her shoe.
"Wife," said the man after he had looked at her for a long time, as if dazed, "are you now pope?"
"Yes," said she, "I am pope." Then he said, "Well, wife, if you are pope, do let well enough alone." But she looked stiff as a post and did not move. Then he said, "Wife, be contented now you are pope. You can become nothing greater."
"I'll think about that," said the woman.
That night the man slept right well and soundly, for he had run about a good deal. But the woman could not sleep. She tossed about trying to think what she should be now. At last the sun began to rise, and when the woman saw the red of dawn, she sat up in bed and looked at it. And when she saw the sun coming up, she said,
"Why, that is it. Why can't I order the sun and moon to rise? Husband," she cried, poking him with her elbow, "wake up. Go to the flounder. I will be lord of the sun and moon."
The man was still almost asleep, but he was so horrified that he fell out of bed. He thought that he must have heard wrong, and he rubbed his eyes and said, "Oh, wife, what did you say?"
"Husband," said she, "if I can't order the sun and moon to rise, and must look on and see them rising, I can't bear it. I shan't have another peaceful hour."
Then she looked at him so terribly that a shudder ran over him.
"Go at once," she cried. "I will rule the sun and moon."
"Alas, wife," cried the man, and fell upon his knees before her. "I beg you, go on as you are and be pope." Then she fell into a rage and cried, "I will not bear this any longer. Will you go?" So he dressed and ran away like a madman. A great storm was raging. Houses and trees toppled over, mountains trembled, and rocks rolled into the sea. Then the sea came in with black, white-crested waves as high as mountains. The fisherman cried, but he could not hear his own words. O man, if such you be, O flounder, flounder in the sea, behold, my wife, Dame Ilsebil, would beg a boon against my will. And what does she want now? Asked the flounder. Ah, said the man, she will command the sun and moon. Go to her, said the flounder, and you will find her back again in the hovel. And there they are living to this very day. The end of the tale called The Fisherman and His Wife, read by Barbara Hansel.